of our lesson this morning, I want to say a word of thanks to Brother Tommy Parker for trimming all the bushes around the church building. If you look all around, they've been trimmed very nicely, completely, and we know this is a very big job, and he just saw that needed to be done, and most of us are having the last mowing or last trimming and everything before the winter, and Tommy just went ahead and just took it on himself to do that, and we know it was a very good job. I'll say thank you, Tom. Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate that. We hope everyone will be present tonight for our prayer service. Tuesday is an election day, the election day. Some of you may have already voted. There is early voting in the state of Alabama. And some of you may have voted already. But we want to have a prayer service tonight for this particular situation. It is not right, it would be improper for any preacher from the pulpit to endorse any candidate or political party, and that is not the purpose of our service tonight. Our service tonight is that everything will be done to the glory of God, that we will just have safety when people go to vote, that whoever God would choose would be the person that would be elected. And we just pray that things will work out according to God's will. So we hope that you will be here tonight. It will not be a long service. It will be relatively brief. It won't be just 5 minutes or something like that, but it won't be probably an hour. I doubt if it will be an hour. But several of our men have been asked to lead prayer for particular situations, particular requests, particular things of thanksgiving. And so we are glad that the men are going to be leading in that particular capacity. And then we'll have an invitation at the very end. And we'll have the Lord's Supper for anybody who needs to have the Lord's Supper tonight. And then we'll conclude our service. But hope that you will be here for that. And then also on Tuesday you will vote, if you haven't voted already, that you will see it's your responsibility as a citizen to go and vote. Let's bow for a word of prayer to God. Father, we are grateful for this day and grateful for your love and grateful for all the blessings you give us. Grateful for Jesus and for his death on the cross. Grateful that we have the Bible, that the Bible is your word, it's true. Every word of it is true. We're grateful for that. Father, as we study your word, help us to think about our lives and how we can let our lives reflect Christ and that we can truly be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Bless us in that way, Father. Bless us in our study. We pray through Jesus, and amen. For scripture reading this morning, I want to turn over the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, begin at verse number 5. Talking about Christians now. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even salvation of your souls. Earlier in this book, in the very second verse that he wrote, he talked about how Christians were elect. That word elect really is the idea of people who have been chosen for a certain purpose. And Christians have been chosen that they would have the inheritance that he talks about in this chapter. And he says in this, because of all this, you can rejoice. Because of your salvation, because of the fact that you are one of the elect, because of all these blessings, Christians can rejoice. And we look at these blessings and we think about it. And a question comes up, that is, if Christians are so blessed, if they've been chosen by God, if they've answered the call, if they've accepted God's invitation to become Christians, if they are saved from their sins, if they have hope for eternal life, all these wonderful things, why in the world do Christians suffer? Many a person has asked that question. Atheists have asked it. Others have asked it. Honest, sincere Christians have asked it. Why is it that Christians have to suffer? Some people said it just seemed that if God has these special people, if God has these wonderful blessings, if God has all these things, that somehow he would just put an umbrella over his people to protect them. That they wouldn't have to go through all the problems, the troubles, the trials, the tribulations that we have in this world, in this life. It seems that there ought to be some protection in some way. The real question is, why do God's people suffer? We want to look at that through the book of 1 Peter this morning. First of all, you need to understand the fact that there is going to be suffering. There will be Christians who will suffer. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy and said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus himself had predicted this in John chapter 15, verse 20. He said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If you go back and read 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, talk about Christ who did no sin, neither was guile in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Jesus certainly had to go through an intense amount of suffering. Peter even talked about this in chapter 4 of his book. He says that if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Well, we have to ask the question, if that's the fact, if the Bible talks about it, if Christ predicted it, Peter wrote about it, then why? Why do Christians suffer? And for several different reasons. Number one, just by the fact of living in this world. We live in a world that is just overcome with sin, overcome with disease, overcome with suffering and things that are in this world, and we have to admit that. It goes back certainly to the Garden of Eden, that Adam and Eve had a perfect situation, a perfect home, a perfect environment, but because of their sin, the ground was cursed, they had to leave their perfect home. People since then have had sickness and disease and problems all through, and that's just a part of the situation we're in. Another reason is because of the fact that the world, as a whole, does not appreciate godliness. When you and I try to live according to God's word, many a time people are going to be upset with that. Someone might want you to sign your name to a document that is false, and want you to go along with what the business or the company is doing and say, if you just sign this, that's all you got to do. And you say, no, I can't do it. I can't sign my name to that because that's a lie. And I'm trying to serve the God of truth, and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm not going to sign my name to a lie. The boss might say, well, if you don't sign that, you can just pack your things and get out. That has happened from time to time. Many a time, somebody has had to suffer because of the fact that the world does not appreciate godliness. And then also, we need to see, and we find this in this book, in 1 Peter chapter 5, that there's another person involved. That person, of course, is the devil. Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Many a time, Christians have had to suffer because of what Satan has done. You go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Job. Job is a righteous man. Job is a godly man. Job is a man who is just far and above so many people on the face of the earth. And Satan has this kind of agreement with God that if Satan could just do enough, Job would curse God and curse him to his face. Well, Job then has to suffer. And he loses his family. He loses his friends. He loses his income. He loses all his flocks and his herds. He loses his health. He loses his children. His wife turns against him. All these things happen, and yet Job said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job had that much faith, great faith in God, that no matter what would happen, no matter what he was going to suffer, no matter what was going to come his way, he was still going to trust God. It's a great, great story. And so there are a lot of different reasons why people suffer. Sometimes just because of the fact that Jesus said it's going to happen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, I've come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be those of his own household. So sometimes even your family is going to cause you to suffer because you're trying to live for Christ, and they are not. You want to do what's right, and they are not concerned about what's right. So sometimes that's going to be a part of it. Now, the fact of suffering has been established. What is the nature of these trials and the suffering? Well, first of all, Peter tells us the manifold trials. He says in verse 6, chapter 1, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Some translations say manifold trials. That means there's going to be different kinds of trials and temptations. It may be persecution. It may be the fact that there is actual persecution made against Christians. Many things that are happening in our country this day, 25, 30 years ago, you would never have dreamed. Nobody would have ever dreamed or thought of the fact that boys would be wanting to enter into girls' sports. That would never have entered into anybody's mind. Now people are saying that if you don't allow that, there's something wrong with you. If you don't allow these transgender people to participate, there's something wrong with you. You're hateful. You're against these people. Well, there would be persecution in that way. And then there might be just hardships. May again be somebody tells you at the job, you know, you've got to do this or say this or do a particular thing, and you lose your job. It's because of the fact you're going to live right and do what is right. It may be because it's supposed to be to be a difficulty as a child of God. Maybe some friends want to just don't want to be around you. And say, well, if you're going to be that kind, if you're going to take that attitude, we just don't want anything to do with you. A lot of things happen in this life. There are different kinds of trials. Not only that, the trials are going to be fiery. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 7. He says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. What that tells me is that there's going to be some trials that we have that are painful. And again, people say, why do I have to go through the pain and the suffering in this world? Peter has told you, it's going to happen. There will be some trials that are going to be fiery, that are going to be painful in this life. It's not all a bed of roses. It's not all, everything is great. Yes, in your relationship with God is great. Yes, the fact that Christ is your Savior is great. Yes, the fact that you have the Bible, that's great. Yes, you have brothers and sisters in Christ, that's great. Yes, you have the forgiveness of your sins, that's great. But the world is going to turn against you. Not only that, but some of the trials we're going to have are going to be exceedingly painful. Jesus said in a prayer, he said, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The fact is that Jesus had to go through intense suffering. And he said, the servant is not above the master. So if our Lord went through intense suffering, very painful suffering, we can expect to do the same thing as well. In the first century, Nero, for part of the time, was an emperor. There were 10 emperors from the, what we would say, from the birth of Christ until the very end of the first century. And only one of them was a halfway decent person. Nine of the emperors were just wicked, immoral, terrible, harsh, selfish people that were just out for themselves. Peter, in this book, gives us several statements that show the fact that Christians can endure suffering. They can meet it. It is there for our benefit. Christians can grow from it. They can benefit from the suffering that comes their way. It is described as fiery. It is described as hard. But it is important that we keep in mind that even though that may happen, we can meet the suffering. Peter says here in this first chapter, he says, you greatly rejoice, though, for a season. And that's the thing that you have to remember, that the trials that we suffer are not permanent. Yes, they are hard. Yes, they are difficult. Yes, it makes us sad many times, but they are not permanent. Paul said the same thing over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You will suffer, but it's only for a little while. We don't know how long it will be. Someone will say, well, David, if I've got to serve 20 or 30 years, that seems like a long time. Compare that to eternity. Compare it to eternity. And the 30 or 40 years that you suffer will seem like nothing. Not only that, we have to look and see what Peter says is the real value of suffering. We talk about the fact of it. We talk about the nature of it. What is the value of it? Well, the value is to improve and to grow your faith. There were people that Peter said are going to be tried as gold is tried with fire. And that gold, when it's put through the fire, it takes out all the impurities and it makes it better and it makes it pure. And that's really what will happen with the trials and sufferings that you go through in life. It may be hard. It may be sickness. It may be disease. It may be some other thing. It may be a loss of a job. It may be a loss of your health. It may be something else. But it's going to help you in life. James says it this way in James chapter 1. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That word patience there really is the idea of being able to withstand the load, be able to take in the pressure. You want to be able to grow spiritually, then you just get under pressure. You let somebody pressure you, and you can't grow. And it's important to see that. David talked about this back in the Old Testament. In Psalm 119, verse 67, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept your word. In the same chapter, verse 71, he says, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And in the same chapter, verse 75, he says, I know, O Lord, that the judgments are right, that thou art in faithfulness and hast afflicted me. In his faithfulness, God had afflicted David. What an important concept. And he saw that his suffering, whatever it might have been, and David had a lot of suffering in his life. Some of it he brought on himself, some of it was not. But some of the suffering, though, was good for him. And he saw that it was good for him. And he saw that that was part of God's faithfulness. Thirdly, we suffer so that we can help others when they suffer. If you look at the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul said this to the brethren there. He said, who comforts us in our tribulation, talking about God, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort with we ourselves are comforted of God. The troubles you go through may be preparing you to help somebody else. Maybe somebody who has a weak faith. Maybe somebody who isn't a Christian. Maybe somebody who has questions about why does God allow this? Why did God allow 9/11? Why did God allow this person to die? Why did God allow this fire to take this person's life? Why all those things happen? Well, things that you might have gone through help you to help them in their particular suffering. Maybe you've been through the very same thing. Maybe you have had to experience some of the things that they're going through. And that very point is to say, look, when I went through what you're going through, here's what I did. I got down the Bible. I read God's Word. I prayed to God every day. I prayed that God would strengthen me. I went back and read the book of Job. I went back and read the book of Psalms. I read that. All these things that help you to suffer. God can use you to help somebody else. Now it's important that we maintain the Christian attitude in all of this in the midst of suffering. Somebody has well said that the importance of attitude is seen by the fact that the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the wax that is melted, that it can be molded, or do you want to be hardened like the clay? I hope and pray all of us will want to be like the wax. We'll say, whatever God has, however he can help me, I'm going to use that suffering, that trial. Look back at the book of Acts. Chapter 5, when Christians were going through suffering, when Peter and John were put in prison, after it says, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. They were counted worthy to suffer for him. I hope and pray that all of us will remember that, that when suffering and trials and troubles come, whatever they might be, they will say, Lord, says that I'll never be tempted above what I can bear. Lord, I know you can help me. Lord, I know that you've got some purpose. Help me, Father, to have patience in the situation. Help me to have the faith in the situation. Help me to have the hope in the situation. during this trial. Now we're going to sing the invitations of him. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do that this morning. If you believe in Jesus as God's Son, you're willing to repent of your sin, you're willing to confess your faith in Christ, you're willing to be immersed in water for the remission of sins, why not do that today? Why not put him on in baptism? Walk out of here knowing that you have the remission of your sins. As a child of God, you realize you have not lived a Christian life. You realize you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you just have a need of prayer. Maybe you have a need for prayer for somebody else. Whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come. We encourage you to come. We want you to come as we stand and as we sing.
Amen.